Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, as you know, we will do on this show, we're going to shift gears and keep it interesting for you, and I think you will agree. Robert Geniak is a very interesting gentleman who's been on our program before. He's a speaker. He's an author. The book is Rich is a State of Mind. Boy, is it ever. Rich is a State of Mind is also the website, richisastateofmind.com. And we follow Robert's work. He does a lot of writing, and he's very much a sought-after speaker. He does a lot of different talks on personal finances, and I really admire what Robert's doing with the work. It's not just about money, though, and Robert will tell you about that in just a second. It's a lot of understanding that this whole world of financial planning, you know, doggone it, it can be a little dry and boring to some people, and Robert helps us understand that that's more about perspectives and looking at it and making it relevant to you because it is important. So Robert wrote the novel, Rich is a State of Mind, a little different take on financial planning and the importance of it for you, the listener, from the eyes of American family. And so it's really interesting, his take. And so let's get him going here, and we'll start some of our question and answer. Robert, welcome back to the program.
It's a pleasure to be back on with you, David.
Pleasure, all mine. And listen, I want to dive in because there's so much for you and I to talk about. And I first want to make sure our listeners understand, you know, the uniqueness of your book that you wrote. You know, you've done your share of talking, and I'm sure that your vocal cords are stronger than mine. But your perspective, I really love what you did with your book, which is to take this whole thing about planning and you know, seeing the importance of financial planning and why that matters so much for people, and doing it through a novel instead of, oh, I don't know, a Confessions of a Financial book series written by a financial planner that's more, you know, nuts and bolts. So give us a little bit of the inspiration for that and why you wrote the book the way you did, and then we'll get into some of the things I wanted to get to with you today.
Well, I do appreciate the kind words, David. And as I tell audiences all the time, I accidentally wrote a best-selling book on personal finance. It was never intended to be that. I was trying to help out a financial advisor friend of mine with a marketing brochure that turned into an international best-selling book. And I think what makes it unique is two things. First, it's a novel about personal finance. And when people say, so what's your book about? Rich's State of Mind is a novel about personal finance as seen through the eyes of a slightly dysfunctional American family trying to come to grips with money, investing, insurance. What does it all mean? Why is money so emotional? Why won't the future just take care of itself? And the second part of that is I've never been a financial professional like yourself. I've never worked in the industry. I've never worked for a bank, a credit union, insurance company, or investment firm. I've always been the client of the industry, so that when I wrote the book, I wrote it through the eyes of a client and a family trying to come to grips with all of those questions about money. And the upside of that is I don't have anything to sell people.
Okay.
Any investments that I'm trying to sell them, I don't want them to invest in my company or any kind of mutual fund or stock. What I want them to do is sit down with a financial professional and spend some time creating goals, creating a financial plan, and getting the future that they want with your help.
Listen, that sounds great to me. And you're not in a self-serving way, Robert. I think that, you know, once people can sit still for a little bit and get organized and really bring this into focus, that, you know, a qualified, experienced advisor can just catapult them so much further down the road. I just had a couple I met with that the wife is already retired, the husband's looking at retirement, and it's just that transition, and they need a framework, they need a roadmap, they need something to start their journey. It's like once upon a time when before we had Google and the maps on our phones, that you actually would plan your trip with you know, those little trip packets that you get from AAA or wherever you'd get them, and actually map out your trip. And that's what an advisor does. So you know when you got to stop for gas. So you know when you need to have a night in a hotel. So these are so vital things that people just take the time and do it.
I think we take for granted that when it comes to money investing and all of that financial stuff, that if we seek out help from anybody, be it our next door neighbor, somebody we play golf with, or a financial professional, that somehow we've failed. We'll ask for help about lots of other things in our lives, but money is that emotional issue that we've carried forward for many of us since childhood and the families where we grew up, that we just don't want to ask anybody else for help. I'm smart enough to do this myself. And as I tell audiences all the time, your relationship with money has absolutely nothing to do with how smart you are. I know incredibly intelligent people who make incredibly horrendous financial mistakes on an ongoing basis. I know people that I could introduce them to and they said, that guy's got like the IQ of 27, yet they're multimillionaires. There is no correlation between how smart you are and how successful you'll be with money. It all has to do with attitude, what we're willing to learn, and the questions we're willing to ask and the help we're willing to seek out.
Wow. Okay. That was very good, Robert. I'm putting your statement on the top of one of my next columns I write. I mean, that was really good. There's no correlation between how smart you are and how successful you are with money. And you are spot on, because I've had people come in and meet with me that, you know, their determination, their raw willpower, their willingness to take chances and all these things, you know, had a lot to do with how they did, and also their ability to save. And I've had people that come in that are really, really, really smart, and maybe things haven't worked out the way they would like them to have worked out. And had really, really smart people come in and ask for help, not because they're dumb, because they are smart.
Well, it's interesting, and I share this story with audiences all the time, David. I've got a friend of mine who's a big golfer, loves golf. Golf isn't my thing. But I'm sure it is for a number of people listening to the show. And I asked him one day, so how's it going? And he was kind of giving me the once over, you know, I'm struggling with some financial stuff, and we as a family, we're not where we want to be. I said, can I ask you a question, Brian? I said, back last spring, you hired a swing coach to help you with your golf game. Right? Do I remember that right? He said, well, yeah. I said, how did that work for you? He said, oh, he said, you wouldn't believe it. He said, it's amazing. He said, I could barely crack 90 before. Now I'm shooting in the high 80s, occasionally in the low 80s. Probably took 8, 10, 12 strokes off my game by hiring him. I said, okay. I said, so let me ask you another question. You hired a swing coach to help you with a game that doesn't make you any money, yet you don't want to sit down with a financial professional, a money coach, for lack of a better word, and help you with your personal finances so that 10 or 15 years from now, you could play all the golf you ever wanted, never have to worry about how to pay for it. I said, do I pretty much have that right? And he looked at me, he said, you know, I love you, but right now I sort of hate you. And I said,
wow,
I get it, but it's a situation that all of us struggle with. And hopefully for the listeners, I do not want them to get the impression that I have this all figured out. I do not, David. I am a work in progress myself. I still make the occasional financial money mistake, and I like to make them of smaller impact, and I like to spread out the amount of time between them at this point in my life. But I share with people that I bought a juicer about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And the audiences all laugh, and I said, I know where you are, juicer people.
Yeah.
And I said, the first week is amazing. Right? Everything you can put in that thing, you know, mangoes and kiwis and grapefruits and oranges. And as I tell the audience, then one day I went for a walk down an aisle in a grocery store that apparently I'd never been down before, because I was astounded to see about 60 feet of juice and cartons already squeezed, and all I had to do was take it home, any flavor I wanted.
Oh, that's funny.
And I said, the juicer hasn't seen the light of day since. And so it's all of those little things we do as individuals and the tiny little incremental changes we make that yield a bigger result later on.
That's so good. That's funny, Robert. Well, I love it. You're spot on. And I got to tell you, and I know you know this, but it's great for you to hear it and for the listeners. You know, everybody makes mistakes with their money. Financial planners make mistakes with their money. There's things that I would love to go back and do differently. Everybody's got that, but what am I going to do going forward? So let's grab a quick break. We'll be right back with Robert Geniak, speaker, author of the book, Rich is a State of Mind. And so is the website, richisastateofmind.com. Quick break. We'll be right back with Robert.
What if in the time it takes you to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? Well, if you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. It's as simple as that. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? And there's no cost or obligation to meet with David. All you need to do is simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com for more information.
All right, we are back with Robert Geniak, and thank you, Robert. You've given me two columns to write now with our conversation so far, and I should get at least two or three more before we're done.
Well, I hope you do, and I hope the listeners today who are tuned in are getting something out of this as well.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. Well, they are. I'm sure they are. Rich is a State of Mind. And the website is the same, richestestateofmind.com. And yeah, the golf analogy is outstanding. I can't wait to use it. So let's get into some details. You've written for a variety of publications over the years, Robert, as you know, and I admire people that write because it's not easy. It's a lot of work. And it's a little bit like what Einstein's quote, if you can't explain something simply enough, you don't understand it well enough yourself. But writing, if you can't write things easily and simply in a way the reader understands, then you maybe need to spend a little more time with it. So I know it's a lot of work. And we saw a recent article you contributed to Money Magazine, Minding Your P's and Q's, which I thought was interesting. And this relates to, of course, personal finance. So what are the P's and the Q's? And I'll caution you that I do like to pop my P's, so bear with me.
That's okay. Well, the interesting thing, David, is back in the days when we used to typeset, the P's and the Q's, the whole expression of the phrase minding your P's and Q's is that they look like they're identical in terms of typesetting. And sure enough, in the alphabet, they come almost right beside each other, and so people would mistake them in typeset print. But as it relates to personal finance, one of the things that I talk about to people like yourself and clients is the concept of purpose. Why do we do what we do? So the first P in the mining your P's and Q's is purpose. Mm. Why do we want to manage money well? Why do we want to protect our family? What is the purpose of what we're doing with our personal finances? Do we understand what that purpose is? Mm. Because some people, when you push them on it, will tell you that they go all around it, but they can't give you that one simplistic, one sentence of this is why I'm doing this, which is the purpose part. And once that becomes clear, then it leads to the second, which is plan. There's the old adage that we don't plan to fail, but we often fail to plan.
Yeah, sure.
Actors have scripts, architects have blueprints. We need a plan to move forward. How do we manage the investments? What do we invest in? How do we set money aside so that we're not living off our credit cards or using a line of credit or using our house as a bank machine in order to fund the lifestyle that we want? And one of the biggest misconceptions about a financial plan is people think that once they've done it, it's done. Great. Mm-hmm. I never have to do that again. Mm-hmm. Well, life happens, unfortunately, and it often disrupts our plans. When we last spoke about 19 months ago, back in March of 2014, people built a plan. I had a plan back then.
Yeah.
That plan is different today than it was then. And it's interesting because, you know, nothing's happened in the personal financial world in the last 19 months, which I know as a financial professional, you know. It's just the same old stuff as 19 months ago, isn't it, David?
Oh, sure. Exactly. Identical.
Yeah. Nothing in the media,
nothing.
You know, market meltdown in China, world global oil prices falling like a rock, which has a big impact up here in Canada where I live because oil is a big thing in the Canadian economy.
Sure. And nothing's happened to your exchange rate with the U.S. dollar.
So it's just, you know, la, 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 life goes on.
Yeah.
you know, that's why we have a plan. So we have a purpose, we have a plan, and then it becomes about performance.
Yeah, so, and before you go to performance, you know, the thing about a plan, Robert, that I very often tell people, and I think you'll appreciate this, and I know you're speaking to this with your commentary about, you know, the things that do change, is I tell people, you know, because sometimes people will look at a financial plan and go, okay, we're going to do all this work, or I'm going to ask you to do all this work, or we're going to spend this time talking about something that we know is going to change. Or they think that it's just something they do, like you suggested, a one and done, and it's, you know, what I tell people is financial plans are not carved in stone. They're carved in jello, because they have to be able to change and flex, but we can't just throw our hands up in the air and say, well, I'm not going to bother then because it's going to change. Why bother? Well, we have to have somewhere to start, and then we modify and adjust so that we always have something that is evolving. And, you know, it's like our bodies, that the cells we have today are all from a blueprint, but they're not the same ones we had, you know, 5 years ago.
Absolutely not. You know, if I just sitting here talking to you on the radio, if I look down on my arm, my arm looks exactly the way it did 6 months ago, but the layers of skin that were there are all brand new. And everything in the world around us changes on an ongoing basis. And what it makes many of us want to do is just kind of stick our head in the sand like an ostrich and go, well, I'll come back later when the change is done. And I remember saying to an audience once when somebody was asking me about change and said, I just wish things wouldn't change for a little while.
Right.
And I said, well, here's something I've learned along the way. If you want things not to change, then things are going to have to change.
Interesting.
And they looked at me and they said, what? I said, no. I said, think about that. If you want things not to change, things are going to have to change. Because change is the natural order of things. That's the way it's supposed to happen. So if you want it not to change, then the natural order is going to have to change in order to maintain things constant. I said, it's kind of like walking, and we've all did this as kids, and some of us bigger kids do it even now. Every once in a while, you take a run up the down escalator just to see if you can make it. And, you know, if you're not fast enough, you end up, you know, going as quickly as you can, but if the downward escalator is too fast, all you do is you stay in one position. And that's what the perseverance part has to do, which is step four. So we perform, but then perseverance is, how do you deal with what life throws at you? And sometimes it throws some real crappy things your way. This weekend, I got a chance to celebrate with my mom, because this weekend was her five-year cancer-free date. And I think of the perseverance over the last 5 years for her, you know, in battling a dreaded disease, and how she's come through that, you know, stronger, resilient. We need to do this on an ongoing basis as it relates to personal finances. And trust me, personal finances money is nowhere near as important as what my mother has gone through.
Sure.
Yet, we all need to have that, okay, something happens. We got downsized, or our company's changing direction, or maybe they had to an across the board cut and pay for people because, you know, it's a tough economic time. How, it's not what happens to us that really is that important, David. It's how we respond to what happens to us, and that perseverance is key.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And yeah, I know you're balancing these things of having a purpose and a plan, and then the persevering, because, you know, and I know you've said, you know, said this in some of your writing, that, you know, the perseverance, it's not a perseverance forever, because tough times don't last forever.
No, they don't. But when we're in the middle of them, man, it seems like,
oh, sure,
you know, holy crap, here we go again.
Yeah.
Just when people got confidence back in the markets, it was only 6-8 weeks ago that every paper across North America, you know, had the big downward red graph on the front page going, oh my God, the end is near, tune in tomorrow.
Exactly.
And yet here we are 6 weeks out from that, where are the markets? Pretty much exactly where they were before all of this started.
Yeah.
And I did a radio interview about 4 weeks ago, It was the Tuesday morning after the Chinese Friday meltdown.
Yeah.
And I was on vacation. I actually did the radio interview from a tent on Cape Breton Island on the east coast of Canada. I had been offline and off everything for about 12 days. And so the first question the interviewer asked me said, so how should we be reacting to the 1,400-point drop on Friday on the Dow?
Yeah.
I had no idea the Dow had actually gone down 1,400 points on the Friday. And I was thinking to myself, man, I probably should have taken a look at what happened in the 20 minutes before I got on this radio interview.
Hey, but look at it this way. You had a different perspective for them.
I had a much different perspective. And I said, here's what I know. Regardless of what the Dow did on Friday or where it is today, that I can guarantee you it's going to be in a different place 18, 36, 54 months from now.
That's so true.
And what we need to do is take a long-term perspective, take a deep breath, and go, okay, given what happened on Friday, or today, or next Thursday, does any of that change the plan that we've put in place for myself or for myself and our family? And the reality is, most of it had no effect on those plans. It affected our statements.
Sure.
It affected our mutual fund statements that are going to come out, or our investment statements. But did it change the plan? Because the plan is not 6 weeks out.
Right.
The plan is 5 years out, 10 years out, 15 years out, 20 years out, ties to our goals, raising our kids, saving for our kids' education, paying down the mortgage. Did any of that change when the Dow went down by 800 points? No, none of it changed.
And if the answer is yes, then there's something fundamentally wrong with the plan. And if somebody is depending on that market doing what it's doing to that degree, then we've got some things that need to be restructured. Let's grab a break and we'll come back and talk more about it. Robert Geniak, ladies and gentlemen, speaker and author. The book is Rich as a State of Mind. RichasAstateOfMind.com is a website. Right back after this quick break.
Are you looking for convenient, straightforward financial information? Just say no to superficial sales presentations. And yes to the free Real Money app. Get David Holland's new app for your smartphone or tablet. Just search Real Money with David Holland at your mobile device's store. You'll be able to access 17 educational TV shows, plus hundreds of radio shows and financial columns, all in the palm of your hand and on your schedule. So very easy and so very important to you. Again, to download the free app, search Real Money with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're welcome back. We're with Robert Geniak and enjoying my time with him. It's always a great perspective. Rich as a State of Mind is his book, and the website, of course, lots of good information over there, richasastateofmind.com. And Robert, you and I, we get together and we talk and we run out of time. We've got a couple of minutes left, and we were talking about P's and Q's, and we got to get to at least one Q on your list, and then it's quality, right? I mean, it's quality. So why is that part of this equation?
Quality is one of those things that reveals itself over time, and quality comes in many different forms. It can come from the quality of our investments. It comes from the quality of the relationship with the financial professional. It comes from the quality of the people that we hang out with. And there's many people much wiser than I that say that if you look out 5 years from today, what we will be doing in our lives will be based on the quality of what we've read and the quality of the people we hang out with on an ongoing basis. And I was sharing this with an audience in Omaha last week, of all places. And I said, it makes me sad to read on an ongoing basis that the average American, and as Canadians, we're no different in this regard, trust me, the average North American reads less than 5 books in the rest of their life once they finish school.
Get out.
Yes.
5 in a lifetime after school?
In a lifetime.
Oh, good grief.
And interestingly enough, and study after study, show that the average millionaire reads 12 to 18 books a year.
Well, now the argument is, well, but they, hey, they are loaded, they've got time, and they don't have to do what I do, and they can read all they want.
What's interesting about that, and I hear this argument 100%, David, Here's another thing I know in terms of working with financial professionals and their clients across North America. People who are incredibly successful with their money, and I'm not talking millionaires, I'm just talking people who do good things with their money, build a plan, create the life that they want for themselves and their family. For those people, they don't care who got voted off the island.
Right, exactly.
They don't care who got the rose on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. They don't even know that there is a Bachelor or Bachelorette. Because they've determined that in order to create the life that they want, they need to subtly change their behavior,
Get
some education, create a quality relationship, not just with their financial professional, but with the people around them. And isn't it interesting that when we get together with those people, we generally feel better about ourselves and what we're doing because there's a commonality to it. And the quality of the people that we hang out with gets reflected in how we basically make decisions, live our lives, spend our time, and what we do for fun and relaxation.
Excellent. Excellent, Robert. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I am so glad we had you back, Robert Geniac, ladies and gentlemen. Rich is a State of Mind is his book, richisastateofmind.com. A lot more good information over there. Robert, we'll have to have you come back because we only got to the P's and Q's and didn't get to some of the other things we wanted to talk about. So we'll do it again soon. Thank you so much for your time.
I always enjoy my time with you, David. Anytime you want to carry on the conversation, just place the call and we'll do it.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.